Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
I ain't looking for no trouble tonight. I just want to hold you, ooh, so nice and tight.
Welcome to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today, we'll be talking Indian food with the chef, Peter Beck. But up first, food headlines. All right, folks. First of all, you guys are freaking me out and scaring me to death with all of these crazy food-centric April Fool's Day jokes. Some of this stuff, I don't even know if it's real. I saw one tweet earlier that one of my favorite cupcake companies is turning into a devil egg company. I saw something about Design Sponge is going to be focusing on cats from now on. So I just hope I remember tomorrow to check to make sure this stuff was like really a joke. Because I'm so confused. I'm like, wait. I keep seeing these little snippets on social media. I think I saw one nonprofit organization saying they were taking money from Monsanto. I'm like, is this real or is it fake? I didn't even have time to read the post to see if it was a joke or not. So if you're listening, how do you feel about all these food-centric April Fool's jokes? Are you laughing or am I just uptight and need a drink or something to loosen up? Or are you like, enough with it already? You're confusing me because I'm trying to do work. Anyway, happy April Fools. April 1 is today. It's officially spring here, and I'm glad. I'm so, so, so glad. Speaking of Design Sponge, I mentioned them in the April Fools. I'm going to do a little self-plug on Friday when most people probably were gearing up for the holiday weekend. Yours truly was featured on Design Sponge. Have a great recipe, harissa and chickpeas with yogurt, full fat yogurt. My recipe is on Design Sponge. So if you're sitting at your computer right now listening to this podcast live or on archive, check me out. Leave a comment. Go to Design Sponge. More so, make the chickpeas. All right, folks, there it is, food headlines. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and break down Indian food. You're going to learn all things Indian food 101 today. Keep listening. We'll be back in a bit.
This one's called Same Old, Same Old by California Honey Drops on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Washed rind cheeses are a fairly recent addition to the repertoires of artisanal cheesemakers in the United States. These cheeses tend to be stinkier than other types and are often high on the list of connoisseurs. Now, Whole Foods Market has come up with one of their own. The raw cow's milk cheese, made by Sprout Creek Farm in Poughkeepsie, New York, is washed with 6-point ale from Red Hook, Brooklyn. The beige sticky rind deepens in color as it ages. The satiny ivory cheese within is mellow with a sweetly tangy bite and a grassy aroma. The current version features 6-point diesel, which is in limited supply, so stop by and pick up some before it's gone. And point of origin cheese is sold exclusively at Whole Foods Market in New York, Northern New Jersey, and Connecticut. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease. I am so delighted to have in the studio today Chef Peter Beck. He's the owner of Benares in Midtown and Tribeca. Chef, welcome to Hot Grease.
Welcome. Thank you.
So I said it right. Benares, right?
Yeah.
Benares.
Well, it's actually Benares.
Benares.
Yeah. It's supposed to be one of the oldest cities in India.
Oh. So, yeah,
that is where we got the name.
Okay, so the name has some oomph behind it, a meaning behind
it.
So I must say, I had the pleasure of having lunch there, what, about a week or two ago? Yes. And I think I told you this story before. I've never been a big fan of Indian food. I tried Indian food for the first time when I lived in Atlanta, and I was like, ooh, too much for me. I couldn't do it. But you converted me. I'm converted.
I'm so proud. I'm so happy that I really changed your whole concept of the Indian food, you know?
So you have to break it down to our listeners like you broke it down to me about the North and the South, and really understanding that India is like this vast group of places and cultures, and the food is different all around.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, India is quite famous for its diversity in religion, languages, ethnic cultures. And at the same time, if you see from North to South, the North cultures and ethnic foods are so different from comparing to the South. Because if you see in the South, it's the coastal area, which is basically India is a peninsula. So if you see one side is Arabian Sea, one side is Bay of Bengal, and the other end is Indian Ocean. So you will see in the South, there is a lot of coconut oil that is extensively used in the cuisine or in the daily cuisine. And because of the coconut milk and coconut so abundantly used, and there is where a lot of chilies are also added to balance the sweetness of the coconuts, you know. So whereas in northern part of India, it's much more milder, less spicier, lot of heavily based onions and tomatoes and ginger garlic sauce, you know, with the influence enhancing the flavors from the spices like cardamom, cloves, bay leaf, and all other spices too, you know. Yeah.
So where does the seafood come into play in terms of Indian food?
Yeah, as I told you earlier regarding the coastal area, what do you say, the length of India is 3/4 of the coastal is out of 6,000, I would say, miles. Nearly 4,000 miles of the area is about coastal. So they are there, especially the seafood is heavily consumed. You know, that is one of the reasons like Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Andhra, Bombay, Maharashtra. So that is one of the reasons where the seafood is abundantly used from morning till evening, you know, for the breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so when I think India, I think about, and you mentioned it a little bit, about religion. How does religion play in what people are eating, and really not what people are eating, and what we as Americans consume in terms of Indian food? Because I think people forget that there are so many different religions, and well, a few different dominating religions in India.
Yeah, I mean, India being the Hindu religion, where you will see most vegetarian food is eaten by them, vegetarian. And the second, we have a population about 17 to 18% of Christians, you know, where, and at the third, most other religion is Muslims. So whereas in Christianity, if you see a lot of meat and dairy products are used rather than vegetarians, and Muslims, they eat other meats like beef. So there is a lot of, I would say, like if you see the history of India, basically during the Mughal era, that is during the 4th and 5th century, they were invaded by the Persian, you know, where it was influenced by their cuisine, like the tandoori items, you know, the barbecued, which they would roast the meat on the tandoor, you know, and cook breads there. So, and at the same time, when we were again ruled by the Britishers during the 15th to 16th century, where the influence of European food came in, the British food came in. So that is one of the reasons it has all this different level of cuisines out there, you know.
So would you say that the average American really hasn't had any great or good Indian food? Because I feel like there are a lot of, for lack of better words, fast food or quick casual Indian spots. Is that a good representation, or is that just a piece of the puzzle?
I mean, basically, if you see the fast food, you know, basically they are more authentic, heavily based, you know, because of the fast food, I would say they are very limited food out there. And because they have to be given very fast. So they are cooked in bulk and with heavily based curry sauces, you know. That is what it is in the fast food. But when we see, when we came to America, we see that the heavily greasy food is not acceptable out here. So that is where Banaras came into picture. And we tried to have the spices, the flavor spices like cloves and cardamoms, and rather than and putting it with onions and tomatoes, which is accepted by most of the American people out here. So I would say, and try to flavor the meats with little spices rather than heavily coriander powders and curries powder.
And I would totally put Banaras as a classified as fine dining Indian food. What other spots in New York City, when you think about fine dining? I mean, really, I feel like there are not a lot of fine dining Indian spots in New York City. Are there or are there?
That's true. I mean, we don't have, I think, much fine dining Indian restaurants in New York City. But we do have a couple, I would say about 4 to 5 good Indian restaurants, which have come up within this last decade or so.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So we're going to take a quick break, Chef, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about you and your background. So listeners, keep listening. We'll be back in a sec.
This one's called All Them Things by the California Honey Drops on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I asked all my friends, they said it was true that you were in love with somebody new who's doing all them things that I never did for you. So I went to your house, I knocked on your door.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. If you're just tuning in live, we are talking with Chef Peter Beck. He is the executive chef at Banaras in Midtown and Tribeca in New York City. So let's talk more about the food that you grew up eating and what you cook at home. Would you say you cook mostly curries? Are you cooking seafood or are you doing stuff? Because I know you've cooked all around the world, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, basically, when I was raised, I was born and brought up in Delhi, you know, and Delhi was a most like a cosmopolitan city where people from all over the state, they would come and, you know, for the living out there. So it's like New York City, you know, where people from all over the state, they come for the living. So it was the same way when I was growing up in Delhi. And my parents were like working, you know, they were working. So what used to, we were basically raised by our neighbors in the buildings. So what happens, there were neighbors from Punjab, from state. So like that's another, there were people from south. And basically what would happen, you know, so I would be exposed to various, during my like childhood and youth, I was exposed to so many types of cuisine, you know, from north, from south, from east and west. So that is one of the reasons I developed that passion because the taste would be so different, you know.
Yeah.
And as, and that is how I, and I would try their food and start to try cook at home, you know, before my parents would come to surprise them. So
what? At what age did you start?
I started basically by the age of, I say, 13, 14 years doing at home, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And you've cooked, really been a chef. Didn't you live in London for a while? Where all have you?
I did my schooling. And then after completing my schooling, I did my catering college. It's the Institute of Hotel Management and Catering. It's a 3 years diploma course, where basically you are trained in all type of cuisine, like French, and basic techniques of cooking food, bakery, you know, butchery, and all the stuff. It's a 3 years training.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know. I mean, you know, cookbooks rule the day now.
Yeah.
when I look on the shelf, and I went to the bookstore this weekend, I'm like, oh, let me look and see what I see in terms of Indian food. Very few Indian cookbooks. What are some of your favorites? If people are listening and they're like, I want to make some dishes, Indian dishes at home. What are your favorite Indian cookbooks?
I mean, basically, see, as I told you earlier, myself, I was more exposed to the practical with my neighbors, you know, so, and I had the passion to cook food. And earlier you asked me a question regarding abroad, you know, because when I did my catering, I started my career in Bombay. From there, I got an opportunity to work with a travel agency.
Oh, wow.
A very renowned travel agency in India, known as SOTC. And from there, I was basically based in, because we had a lot of people from India going abroad to Middle East, Far East, and Europe. And most of them were vegetarians.
Oh, wow.
So, and they would find difficulty in having, eating food there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was basically sent abroad in all this, I was in Bangkok, I was in Manila.
Wow.
Then I was all over Europe. And my basically was to train the local people where are the Indian people who stayed.
Yeah.
I would train the local staff in the hotel how to cook curries.
Wow. What an amazing job.
Yeah. So that is one of the reasons I was exposed. I was working with them for nearly 4 years in all these countries like Europe. So I was exposed to this various cuisine and as I had the passion for the food itself, so I would try to implement the food with the Indian, you know, cuisine. That is how I became more exposed to all these type of foods. Yeah.
So would you say if a person who's really interested in cooking Indian food, that they need to really taste some good Indian food before they get in the kitchen?
Yeah, true. Yeah. They have to, right?
Yes, they need to come to your restaurant. Yeah, huh? Yeah. They need to definitely come. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back because I want to talk about the menu and some of the things that I had and how I was like totally blown away. So we're going to come back. We're going to take a short break. Listeners, keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
Just for me, girl. Please don't give no.
You're listening to Pumpkin Pie by the California Honey Drops here on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Won't you save it all for me?
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can check all of our show archives out on heritageradionetwork.org. Interested in previous shows, Hot Grease shows? Go to iTunes, check out Stitcher. We're right there. I'm going to give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The sun is shining and people are out here today. As I'm looking out of the window of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks, we're talking Indian food with Chef Peter Beck today. He's giving us the 101, breaking it all down. And I had a chance to check out his Tribeca location of Benares. If you're at your computer, check it out. Go to the menu because we're going to start talking about the items on the menu. Some of the things that I tried. Peter, I had a lot of stuff, right?
Yes.
Luckily, I had one of the people at write for me and work on projects. Shannon Musterford joined me. So we ate so much. So I wrote down everything I had and I wanted to talk about it. The first thing is I hate okra. Not an okra fan.
Okay.
But wow, I was converted. I had the dumb okra. Explain, please.
Okay. Basically, you know, okra, as you know, it is called as lady fingers also.
Yes.
You know, and it's basically we take the fresh okra and we cut it And then we take the stems of the top, we nib it off, cut it off. And then we basically dum means like you cover it in a pan and slowly cook it. Basically, wow. That's the meaning of dum, you know, like a pot roast, you know. So the okra gets tender, you know, that is one of the reasons.
But the slime didn't.
And that is one of the reasons if you're going to add water, it is going to give you the slimeness. So just in order to cook the okra, you just put it in a pan with the spices and you cover it in a slow fire. So that is called dum. So it cooks in the steam itself. Rather than, so you will not get the slimeness of the okra.
But what were the seasonings?
Yeah, the seasonings, like we call it dum achari okra. Achari basically means pickled spices. It is basically consisting of more than 15 spices, like cumin, coriander, black pepper, cloves, cloves, cinnamon. I mean, it's a lot of, and chilies. So, but basically, you can get that achari masala ready-made in packets in Indian stores. So, that helps a lot.
So, and the dum technique, is that only used for vegetables or is that, you know, for meats as
well? No, it can, especially for the meats also, it is good because the more slower cooking of the food makes the meat more tender and more enhancing the flavors which we have put in the sauces.
And is there a special pot that would traditionally be used in India if you were using the dum technique?
Yeah, I mean, if you see during ancient times in India, you know, the pot roasting, which we used to call dum, they used to have a copper vessels usually. And they would cover the vessels and slowly put fire under the cover, under the pot. And that is how it would be done, you know.
Okay. So another menu
item. It's basically known as slow cooking process.
I see. Very interesting. Yeah. Another item I had, I think I had the sea bass. I had like 5 or 6 seafood dishes that I was completely blown away. The scallops, the sea bass, and the shrimp dish. They all were like grilled to perfection. And again, the seasoning and the fresh vegetables on there really brought it out. I assumed that I was going to get a bunch of curry dishes. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, this is not curry. I think I only had like one curry dish, even though your menu is definitely for vegetarians. It's for people who don't eat seafood. I mean, whatever your interests are, there is definitely stuff on the menu for folks.
Yes. I mean, that is what we have tried to do. As I was talking about seafood earlier, and one of the reasons, you know, main is people are being more healthier rather than trying to get away the meats and have seafood. And no one has, in Indian restaurant, no one focuses on the seafood. And that surprises me a lot because it's very, you know, most common fish, I mean, seafood is eaten in India. So I was surprised out here why the restaurants are not promoting. So that was one of the main reasons for me to do this in Banaras restaurant, to bring a lot of seafood, trying to get, you know, a bit of a style of American habits of people eating with the spices. That is what I was trying to do out here, you know. Not heavily curry seafood items. So we have, which normally if you see, you ate the seafood, the sea bass is basically marinated in ginger, garlic, a little bit of spices, and then it's grilled in tandoor, the clay oven. Mm. And then it is served with an eggplant with little tomato sauce on it, you know, so that it's not heavily curry. But you get the flavors of India with the spices.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking of common foods, I think probably one of the most common Indian dishes or foods that people think of is the tandoori. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah. And tandoori items, I would say they are very great because one of the reasons being it's all the meat item.
Yeah.
They are pre-marinated before. The pre-marination is usually yogurt, ginger, garlic. And the garam masala, basically the spices, you know, garam masala basically consists of powder form of cardamom, cloves, cinnamon, bay leaf, nutmeg. That's the basic powder of garam masala. So that has been marinated with, And yogurt we add to make the meat a bit tenderized. Mm-hmm. It tenderizes the meat. And then you grill it.
I had the tandoori at your restaurant. It was really great.
Yeah, so...
And one of the things I had actually to start, I did not drink anything because I had this really bad, I thought it was a cold, but it was actually allergies. Mm-hmm. So I ordered the hot tea.
Oh, okay.
What was the hot tea that I ordered?
The masala tea.
Right, the masala tea. So I feel like I've had that before, but it didn't have the same strength that I had at your restaurant. Is that a special blend?
Or? Yeah, I mean, basically, the tea... As I think India is one of the largest growers of tea in the whole world.
Wow.
And 70% of the tea grown in India is consumed by the Indian people there. So that the masala tea, basically, it's a combination of milk and spices like ginger, cardamom to give little flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So that is more palatable. That's, I think, one of the reasons. Of making masala. Masala means a combination of spices.
Ah, yeah. That's what that means.
Yeah. So you get the flavor of little cardamom, cloves, you know.
And I have to shout out this spot. We talked about it briefly. I told you my favorite spot to go to actually pick up. So after they leave your restaurant, they need to go pick up some Indian spices. Calustans.
Yes.
In Murray Hill.
Collision, yeah, in Murray Hill, Lexington.
Yes.
Yes.
A whole floor that's essentially dedicated. When you said teas, that's the first thing I thought about.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find loose teas, whole teas.
Yes.
Rose buds that you can make into tea. And yeah. it's amazing. Would you say that that's the go-to spot if people wanted to just kind of look at Indian spices?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the places where most of the people where I see... The Manhattan people, they go to Khalistan because I think it provides with all the spices and all the necessary spices and curry and a lot of other various things are there in Khalistan. You know, they have cookery books also out there, Indian books.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So it's one of the favorite and the quality is much more better if you compare with most of the stores out there. The quality is, I think, the key factor of Khalistan's.
So your Midtown location is how many blocks from Khalistan's? Where exactly are you located in Midtown?
Okay, in Midtown, we are located on 56th Street. It's 240 West 56th Street. It's between Broadway and 8th Avenue. That is the 56th location on Midtown. And the other one which we have is on where you had lunch there. That is in Tribeca, 45 Murray Street is between West Broadway and Church Street.
Yeah, so that's for all my downtown folks who don't want to go uptown. The one in Tribeca is literally right there at the A stop, at the A train stop, and you get off. So the you're open for lunch, actually, and I feel like the lunch special and the prices, I mean, you have like a prefix lunch, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's a very good deal.
Is that at both locations? You offer.
Yeah. No, in the other location on 56th, we have a buffet out there.
Oh, okay.
That's also a good deal. It's like $14.95. We serve like chicken dish, chicken curry dish, lamb curry dish, tandoori items, 2-3 appetizers, 2 vegetarians, and a salad bar. And bread mainly fresh and served on the table.
So, oh, yeah, the bread is good. Oh, yeah. God.
The tandoori
naan.
Yeah.
So, Chef, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease. I feel like, you know, I really like demystified the whole Indian thing. I think people who are listening probably are walking away or listening to this show feeling like, oh, okay, I really need to try some great Indian food. If they live in New York, they need to be coming to your restaurant. Or even if they're visiting, I would definitely say New York is a place to get the real deal. Indian food, and definitely at your locations. You're actually, if folks want to follow you guys on Facebook and Twitter and all that, you can find them there. Check my Twitter feed, BENARESNYC.com, I think, is the website.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you kindly. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
And thank you so much. It's an honor to be
here. It's an honor to have you here.
And at the same time,
award-winning chef in the studio. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to Hot Grease Live today. or you may be listening on your MP3 player or computer. Thanks. Remember, I'm here every Monday, 3:30 Eastern Time, live. Catch me here or catch me later. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
I ain't looking for no trouble.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.